This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Marketing Mojo and Resource Center. I'm Maya Tan. Now, World Oceans Day is on June the 8th, just around the corner, celebrating marine life, how it affects life on Earth. And it's also about action and doing our bit to protect the ocean. So today we turn to an organization which has been actively involved in World Oceans Day, La Mer. La Mer, of course, is a brand known the world over for its luxurious skincare products made with ingredients from the sea. And the brand is part of the Estee Lauder Companies Incorporated, has been involved in World Oceans Day for many years now. Here to tell us more today is Paul Slavin, Managing Director for the Estee Lauder Companies Malaysia. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Maya.
I've been really interested in La Mer as a luxury brand. And behind every brand, of course, there's always a great story. So what's the La Mer story?
It's really a unique story, La Mer. In the 1970s, a NASA scientist, Dr. Max Huber, he was doing some chemical experiments and the reaction went wrong and he was very badly burned on his arms and his face. And he went to hospital and he tried to get better and he found that nothing that they could give him was actually soothing and smoothing his skin and calming it down. So being a scientist, being a chemist by trade, he went off on his own and started investigating what soothes skin and smooths skin and makes one feel better. And he did about 6,000 different experiments, concoctions and computations. And he came up with the original Crème de la Mer. And this was in the mid-70s by this point. And that's the same formula we use today. So he started using it for himself, primarily. And then it became so well known amongst his friends and colleagues that he started an industry. And that's how it became sort of just over 40 years ago now.
Wow, 40 years already.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about the research and product development process? Also, how do you harvest ingredients from the ocean?
Yeah. The unique ingredient of Crème de la Mer is actually the North American Pacific sea kelp. Sea kelp grows to an extraordinary length in the oceans, not like the sea kelp we see on the beach here. It can grow to 60, 70 meters long. And what we do, and we still do this today, right, from the 70s till now, is we harvest just the tip, the top end of these very long fronds of sea kelp. And that is our secret ingredient. That is the miracle broth, as we call it in the brand. The other thing, and one of the things about World Ocean Day, and we'll come on to later, I hope, is we really try and do this in a very sustainable way so that we don't denature the ocean or damage the sea kelp in any way. So to this day in 2015, it's still hand-picked in order that we can do it carefully and not disrupt the environment.
Yeah, that's what I was curious about as well, you know, the sustainability of it. And I was wondering if perhaps you were starting to cultivate it. I don't even know if that's possible.
We're getting into the science that I'm also not quite certain about, but I know that we do it in such a way that it is sustainable so that every year there is at least the same or more sea kelp along that coast of the North American coastline than there was before. So for sure, it is definitely sustainable. And one of the things we are absolutely certain about is that we don't damage the sea kelp at all.
And of course, now the research and product development involves, you know, a vast laboratory with
a lot
of researchers working on the products.
Yes, absolutely. So that miracle broth that comes from the sea kelp is still an active ingredient in every one of our products that has the La Mer name. But the creme is still the original. But obviously, in order to make it safe and secure and transportable, there's a lot of other research and development goes into protecting it as much as possible for consumers.
Well, La Mer has won a lot of awards for its products, and there's a great many prominent celebrities as advocates as well.
Yeah.
Are there any challenges that La Mer has faced in promoting the brand?
When a brand becomes successful and people demand it and want it, it is very easy to expand very, very fast. But the Estee Lauder Companies is in the premium end of the beauty market, and we believe in what we call selective distribution. So whilst the temptation is there to open the brands in every place that we can, and many people ask us, we need to keep it true to its roots of being selective, because the consumers want and demand that level of exclusivity that comes with a brand like Crème de la Mer. They demand a very high level of service. They demand a very high quality of product. And that takes time, investment, and commitment. And we have to keep that right. So we have to limit the distribution and at the same time continually increase the service for the consumer, because as you and I are consumers, we want more yet tomorrow than we had yesterday for the same price. So how do you address those consumer demands at all time is a very big challenge, but one that we're very, very happy to take up and hopefully succeed with.
What are your thoughts on luxury and online sales, also in the La Mer context?
Sure. We have a phrase that we use inside our company, and it's that we wish to give high-touch service to every consumer. Now, that can be walking into a department store or walking into one of our freestanding stores that we have and receiving excellent consumer service from an individual. But you can also give high-touch consumer service online. So, for example, Crème de la Mer is available online in China. It's not yet here in Malaysia. It will be at some point, but not yet. But in China, we box the product very specially. It's hand-wrapped. There is a note from the general manager of La Mer to each consumer who buys it online. There's a booklet explaining the history of the brand. We have people available to call to discuss if you wish to discuss it. So you can bring online a very high-touch service to a consumer that can be unique. And back to the La Mer consumer, as we were talking about earlier, the ladies who buy La Mer have a very high standard that they wish us to maintain. So you can do it online, but it's about giving people the option. What are people comfortable with?
And of course, sometimes they just want the convenience. They know the product. They love the product.
Absolutely.
All they want is the supply.
The supply. Repeat purchasing is one of our biggest. We have many brands online across the world, and repeat purchasing is one of our biggest segments, where people go in, talk to our experts at the counter to begin with, and then once they establish themselves, they then go online and then just repurchase as and when they deem it necessary, and it makes life easier for them.
And what other ways does La Mer stay relevant in the midst of all the competition in luxury beauty?
Yeah. Consumers nowadays are much more savvy than 20, 30, 40 years ago. And that's because of the internet, social media. People now don't just rely on magazines or the television. They will ask their friends, what do you think of this? They'll go to bloggers. You know, blogging is a very big part of a brand success story nowadays. And I would put that all together and say authenticity. If the consumers, the bloggers, the writers see that the brand is authentic, and I'm not just talking about our brand, any brand is authentic and stays true to itself, it will be successful if it has good products. So the how to be relevant today is how to be authentic with your brand heritage and your brand story, and at the same time be relevant to consumers, understand what consumers wish. So an example I would give is that for 30-something years, we only sold the Crème de la Mer. And consumers were telling us we love it, but for some consumers, particularly in Asia, it was a little heavy. So we brought the soft crème out around 4 or 5 years ago, which is a much lighter touch. And for Asian consumers in particular, with the humidity here and delicate skin that people have here, that was a huge success. So it's around authentic, staying true to your brand and your heritage, and also listening to consumers and understanding what they need and they want, and addressing that in ways that don't diminish your brand equity, but actually enhance your brand equity.
Well, just going back to the La Mer brand, What are La Mer's brand values?
The heritage is unique. No one can address that. No one can copy that. So we like to talk about that. The luxury of the product, the packaging, the feel. That for us is a huge part of the brand. And then high touch service, you know, making sure you're comfortable when we interact with you as a consumer, making sure you understand the product. It is not a product you walk in, pick up, buy and walk out. We need to spend time with people. So we need to train our people in the field very well so that they can really understand consumers' needs and wants. So the values of the brand are high touch, excellent service, the unique heritage, and always giving luxury to women.
What are the ways in which you market the product, and what channels do you use, seeing as, you know, it's very exclusive, there's sure. A priority based on high touch,
yes.
On the high touch service?
La Mer is not a brand that is particularly effective if you were to put it on television or you were to run many, many magazine ads. So we tend not to run a lot of ads. We run more advertorials because that allows us to explain the heritage of the brand for people to understand where we've come to in the evolution of the brand. The other thing is the type of people who are aspirational towards La Mer and who buy La Mer, they take very seriously what key opinion leaders in our society in Malaysia say. So I would much rather do an advertorial with some key opinion leaders and some, you know, high quality, well-known Malaysian women talking than have a brand spokesperson talking, because the type of people who buy that, this resonates with them much stronger than it would just seeing an advertising campaign.
I'm also kind of seeing a contradiction, you know, when it comes to luxury. As consumers, we want that high touch. We want the lovely packaging. But, you know, that's also contradictory to the Earth's resources. Sure. and how it's dwindling. What do you foresee will happen in future? You know, how will these two areas kind of compromise? How will we come to a compromise?
Back to when I was mentioning earlier about being consumers being a lot more savvy and knowledgeable because the information is there for them. Consumers are demanding that very highly. We did some big consumer research last year as a company across all of our brands. This was not specifically around La Mer. But for women under the age of 30 in Malaysia, social responsibility, be it around the earth or be it looking after other people, was the third most important deciding factor in why they would choose to buy a brand. So younger consumers in particular, the buying decision is involved with social responsibility, whether it's to the earth or it's to other human beings. So we have to take that seriously as brand owners. We have to work to make sure that our supply chain is as disruptive as minimal as we possibly can, that we are as sustainable as possible. One of our other brands, Aveda, for example, which is a hair care brand, we now have a factory in the United States that is completely powered by solar power. And we're moving as a company towards that as much as possible. Where we can, we will always use recycled packaging. And where we can, as a company, where the brand is right to do so, our brands should and will be involved in social responsibility to give back not only to the globe, but to the local community as well, because I think it's particularly relevant if you're an international company that you also give back to Malaysia rather than saying we have a global fund, which is super, we love that. What are we also doing in Malaysia to help Malaysia?
I'm speaking with Paul Slavin, Managing Director for the Estee Lauder Companies Malaysia. We're talking about the luxury beauty label La Mer and the brand's support for World Oceans Day. More on their latest campaign when Marketing Mojo continues. This is Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Best for money, BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon, this is Maya Tan. You're listening to Marketing Mojo and Resource Centre. Today we have Paul Slavin, Managing Director for the Estee Lauder Companies Malaysia, here with us. And the company, of course, owns the prestigious skincare label La Mer. With World Oceans Day, there's a direct connection for La Mer. Tell us about how La Mer has supported World Oceans Day in the past.
Over 10 years ago, we started getting involved with World Ocean Day at the global level with many different companies to say, well, how can we better support the ocean? How can we help the sustainability, minimize the disruption and the damage and clear away some parts? Over the last few years, we've worked with very closely with the National Geographic Society. And we have funded many campaigns across the world with National Geographic Society. And we've also sponsored two people who work with them. One is a scientist who looks at the effects on the plantation, if you will, that grow in the ocean, you know, looks at the effects of other things, the human beings interacting with them. And one is a photojournalist who spends time recording the changes in the ocean and recording the changes in the plants and the fish that live in the ocean. So we've made it a policy over the last 10 years to really get involved in that. It was a conscious decision to do something like that rather than, for example, PR campaigns. We still do those about products, of course we do, but we took the decision to do something that would have measurable benefit rather than something that would make everyone feel good but might actually not help the ocean in any way. So that started over 10 years ago, and certainly over the last 3-4 years with National Geographic, we've really ramped up their involvement on a yearly basis.
And tell us about this year's campaign.
So this year's campaign, we're working with, as I said to you, the scientist and the photographer. The scientist is called David Gruber and the photographer, Shannon Switzer. So David's a marine biologist and an ocean explorer, and his job will be to look for bioluminescence and marine animals on the floor. Shannon is the photojournalist, and she photographs the changes in the behavior. And we, as a company globally, we're sponsoring that. And we're also working, as I said, with National Geographic on various things across the world. We are doing some particularly specific things here in Malaysia. We've now done it for 2 years. This is our second year. We really hope to develop a much longer term a collaboration in Malaysia with a company called ReefCheck. ReefCheck is a relatively small NGO, but they do exactly what their name says, which is to check the health of the reefs. When we decided to do this last year, we were very conscious that Malaysia has some of the most beautiful coastlines in the world and some of the largest reefs. You know, Australia is known for its reefs, but Malaysia has reefs that are just as, coral reefs that are just as beautiful and just as big. So we decided that we would sponsor a portion of the coastline in Sabah, and we would sponsor ReefCheck to do annual checks on the health and the well-being of the coral reef there. We were very, very happy with that last year. We sponsored, I think it was around 5 kilometres. And this year we've doubled our investment, and we are now the largest investor and sponsor of ReefCheck in Malaysia. And we're doing over 10 kilometres of Sabah. And we've met with them very recently, and we really want a long-term collaboration, because this is not something one can do once and say, oh, it's good or it's bad, because that means very little in itself. It's the trend of how you can then link with other firms, other NGOs, to say, it's actually deteriorating, how do we make it better? Or we're protecting it, how do we protect it even more? So we think that is, we are very happy with that. We're very proud that we're working with ReefCheck, because we think we're actually giving back to Malaysia, to one of the strengths of Malaysia, which is the beautiful area surrounding us, and we want to keep that and protect it for the future.
So from a marketing point of view, what are the objectives and the outcomes that you hope, you know, from the research with the National Geographic marine biologist and photographer? And also then, from a marketing point of view, are you planning to document that and share it with the world?
You know, social responsibility is something we should do as a company. We are blessed in that we are profitable and that we are growing fast and that we're well recognized in our industry. It is our responsibility, it's part of the values of our company, to give back. So that is something that is above the door, if you will. We are really proud of that. It brings certain qualities of people into your company you want to keep in the company. Also, as I mentioned earlier, consumers expect this nowadays. So it makes good business sense. It's right for Malaysia, it's right for the ocean, and it makes good business sense. It's a good business practice. However, you have to balance. If you are too pushy in trying to say, look how good we are, consumers will not appreciate that. So for La Mer, we would mention it in an interview like this. We might mention it if we were doing an advertorial, but it's not something we want to shout about, because consumers will not appreciate that. And it's honestly, it's not about us feeling good. It's about helping Malaysia and helping the coastline. So if we can do that and then work with ReefCheck and get ReefCheck to put us in contact with other people that we can work with together, again, if people want to find out about these things, they will find out about these things, and they will recognize that authenticity that was, and that validity, rather than, oh, that's a marketing campaign.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to the La Mer's brand values as well, absolutely. And the authenticity.
Yeah.
And look, it looks like a long-term relationship with ReefCheck.
And that's what, you know, we support... across our other brands, you know, a total of 4 or 5 different NGOs looking at different things. So we have the MacAIDS Fund, we have the Estee Lauder Breast Cancer Awareness Fund, we have World Earth Day with our Origins brand, and we have World Ocean Day with La Mer. When I came to this job 3 years ago, I really addressed the issue that I wanted these long-term commitments with high-quality NGOs, because it allows the NGO to start investing in some things that can really benefit, rather than worried about, am I going to get money in 6 months' time? So it allows them to plan better. And the NGOs we've chosen are all NGOs that are based here in Malaysia, and every dollar we give them is invested inside Malaysia. And that was another key driver for us to say, we're a very successful company in Malaysia. We make a nice profit, thank you very much. We want to give back to Malaysia. We don't want to give back to anyone else. Mm-hmm. We support Malaysia because Malaysia is why we're successful.
What else are you doing to educate and involve the Malaysian public as far as World Oceans Day is concerned?
We're working with ReefCheck. We're working in Sabah with them. We're starting to reach out to other companies to work with us. We've deliberately been low-key for the last year because we wanted to get it right. But to your point, the things we do in everyday life can actually start affecting the ocean and the coral reef here in Malaysia. So our World Earth Day focus last year, our Origins brand, was to minimize the use of styrofoam in disposable lunch cartons, because styrofoam lasts for over 10,000 years. And you see so much of it on the beaches. So we worked with Mid Valley, a very big shopping centre in KL, to sponsor reusable lunchboxes every day for a week. And we made and got produced 18,000 reusable lunchboxes, and we gave them away in Mid Valley. So that's a great way where you can take one brand with one NGO and you can link it to what you're doing with another NGO and saying, maybe you don't talk directly about the ocean to them, but you can talk about styrofoam because it's part of their everyday life. And if we can minimize styrofoam, that helps the ocean.
Bigger picture.
Bigger picture, yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Are there any don'ts when it comes to communicating or marketing for the La Mer brand?
I mentioned it earlier, don't push things, don't force things. A brand like La Mer will never work if it's on promotion. The point of differentiation about those high touch brands like La Mer is around the value for money, not the value per se. So if a consumer who uses La Mer sees the brand getting super promotional or discounting, it's not attractive to that individual anymore, because that's not what they go there for. They go there for the quality of the product, and they go there for the service. So don't get promotional, don't get pushy, and don't force it are the key things I would say.
I think I see a lot of that applying to luxury in general. There are several high-end designers who have gotten so diffused that they are facing this problem.
It's also like supermarkets. If you look at supermarkets in the US and the UK, Europe, the high-end ones are doing very, very well. The bottom are doing very, very well. And the ones who are trying to compete in the middle, it's very difficult for them at the moment. And branding is something similar. There are brands at the bottom live or die by promotions. The brands at the top live or die by not doing promotion. And it's really interesting that, I can tell you, we just released our quarter three earnings last week. And our top-end brands are amongst our best performing. The highest priced brands, the true luxury brands, Tom Ford, Jo Malone, Creme de la Mer, those are the brands that are doing the best at the moment for us.
How can we find out more about the La Mer campaign?
If you go to the website of lamer.com.my, there'll be a mini site will be launched there before the 1st of June that will explain the campaign, and we'll show more details there. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm sure if you go to the reefcheck.com.my, you'll be able to see some stuff there as well.
Thank you for joining us today. Paul Slavin, Managing Director for the Estee Lauder Companies Malaysia. This has been Marketing Mojo and Resource Centre. I'm Maya Tan, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.